My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach the glorious gospel each week, as well as give a clear invitation to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm Mike Salem, and welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. A short time ago, we received a letter from an inmate in Texas. It reads, "I have been realizing how truly precious and amazing God is. He works through different people to give messages and show how He can teach us different things through complete strangers and also bless us through other people. I have realized that I'm right where God wants me to be, and I need to accept it. I need to draw near to Him and hear what He is saying. Today, my dad's message connects right to this letter. God is in control, and God's promise unfolds in His time working for good. If this message, a soft pillow for a weary head, is an encouragement to you, you may stream it again by visiting us at ChristianWorshipHour.com. God bless you, and see you next week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. The Lord has tarried another week. But you know what? One of these times, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and Jesus is going to meet us in the air. And won't that be something? Well, it'll happen. I don't know when. It'll happen when the Lord is good and ready. I know I'm ready. So just whenever He comes, that's just fine. Well, we're going to be thinking about walking with the Lord and how that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so if you know of a friend that's really having troubles and really discouraged and downhearted, give them a ring right away and let them know. And we're going to be thinking about how God is in control and He does everything right. But we're reading from Psalm 103, the opening verses, where the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Heavenly Father, we thank You for the strength You give us day by day and hour by hour. Yes, Lord, even second by second, every heartbeat is a gift from You. And so we just thank You for Your mercy and Your goodness and Your love. And we pray, oh God, that first of all, we'll be sure we've received You into our life and become Your child. And then that we dedicate our life and submit to You in the leading of Your Spirit. So bless us in this service, and we'll give You all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song, you're going to love it. Yeah, and it's entitled, "He Hideth My Soul." And God bless you, Jan.
Strength as my day.
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And you know, this wonderful Lord Jesus, this wonderful Heavenly Father, holds us in His hands. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I hold them in my hand. And then the next verse He says, my Father holds my hand. And how can you be safer than that? Isn't that wonderful to know that when you take Jesus as your Savior and you become His child, that you're safe, safe for eternity, and that hell and all of the demons of hell can't touch us because we're safe in His keeping, safe in His hand. God bless you, and God bless the dear Lord Jesus. Well, we have to read some of our letters. We just love getting these letters. We get over 100 letters a day, and not all of them have a letter in it. Some of them have a check, but we get a lot of letters, and we read every one, every last one. So I want to read some of them to you. You're just going to love them. The first one is a kind of a sad letter, but that's where we are, and we have our sorrows as well as our joy. It's from Lake Preston, South Dakota, and they write, I enjoy your messages when I don't get to church. I'm a grandmother, and I lost a grandson to suicide in May. He was a quiet child, not a troublemaker. He served in Iraq, and we missed all the signs. Please send me the booklet on suicide. Please continue the good work. Our faith is our strength. And so isn't this beautiful? She says, our faith is our strength. That's exactly right. Our faith in God, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in His love. And now she's asking for this booklet. Now we've just written a book, published a little booklet, 10 pages, and it is entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes, he can. Yes, indeed. And we have 8 reasons, and they're all from the Bible. It's not what I had a dream or something like that, or an angel told me in the dark of the night or some dumb thing like that. It's all out of the Bible, the scriptures. And so if you want it, I'm going to give you the address right now so you can write and get it. And it's called Just Put Suicide. And then you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you get this booklet, and if that boy knows Jesus, he's in heaven today at the throne of God. That's from the Word of God, and it'll give you great comfort. And if you have friends, you tell them about it. And we send it free and postpaid. We need to have a gift along to help us if you can. If you don't have any money, we get letters from prisons. They don't have money to send, we send the material just the same. We have people on Social Security that don't have enough money, but they want the booklet, we send it just the same. Then somebody else makes up for it. So we always come out just fine. Now here's a letter from Billings, Montana. I found your program almost 15 years ago, been watching regularly since. I told my mother about it. She watched until she passed away in 2013 of cancer. I miss her dearly, but I feel at peace knowing that she's with the Lord Jesus. God bless you and your ministry. And this is the comment that I think is so nice. And they say, I have a peace about it. I feel a peace. I know she's with the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's wonderful things we can do. God can give us a peace, a wonderful peace that passes all understanding. Because we're told in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the world can't give us that peace, only Jesus can give us that peace. But when we trust Him and love Him, ask Him into our life and trust Him. He gives us a peace that the world can't take away. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's real. And so if you don't have Jesus, open your heart to Jesus today, right now. Now here's a letter, Grundy Center, Iowa. Says, since I cannot get out much, you are my church on Sunday mornings. And then she says, I do not like it when you refer to sheep as being dumb. Now, God bless you, sister. Let me tell you something. I was raised with sheep. I helped them lamb out. I herded sheep. I talked, blatted like a sheep. I smelled like a sheep. I know sheep. That's all my dad had. And I'm going to tell you something about sheep. They're not only dumb, they are dumb. And I've been there. I know what my first job I ever had was tying wool for a sheep shearing crew. I know sheep. And I'm going to tell you, if they get lost, if they wander away, they will never come home. Now, all the other animals come home. Chickens come home to roost. Bees come home to the beehive. Horses find their way. They'll come in a blizzard, find their home. Dog travel. They run miles and come home. Cattle come home at night. Birds find their nest. Cats come home. I read about a man, a farmer, and he had a cat, and he wanted to get rid of it. Didn't want to do it bodily harm, and he'd take it to town, turn it loose, and then it'd always come back. And a friend says, take him to the streets to Boston, and they're all crooked and everything. Turn him loose downtown Boston, and you'll get rid of him. So he did. Sometime later, he met his friend. His friend says, you take that cat down to Boston? Yep. He says, did you get lost? He says, get lost? He says, it wouldn't have been for the cat. I wouldn't have found my way home. So you see, all of these animals, listen, dear sister, let me ask you something. Have you ever, in all of your life, seen a sheep do a trick and an act in a circus? Have you ever? I've seen the camels do it. I've seen horses do it. I've seen lions do it. I've seen tigers do it. They say that fleas do it in their circus. You can see every animal under the sun. You never have ever seen a sheep do an act because he's too dumb, see? So the reason I'm emphasizing this is because God tells us in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. He compares us to sheep, and it means that we stray away and we'll never come back till the good shepherd comes and gets us and finds us, and God bless him. That's what Jesus did. He came to this world, and he went to the cross, and he paid with his blood on the cross, and he was raised the third day, and he came to get us. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So don't tell me about sheep. And if you don't agree with me, well, just write to me. Send a gift while you write, and that'll make it a little nicer. Now, here's Miles City, Montana. We'd like to receive a copy of the paper about heaven and suicide. Our son committed suicide. The minister that gave his sermon stated he would go to hell. Now, somebody ought to take that minister and shake him up a little bit, because he doesn't know where he goes, because only God knows the heart. Only God. So don't sit and judge anybody, whether heaven or hell. Now, I can tell you this. If you know Jesus Christ, you'll never go to hell. And if you commit suicide and you're a Christian, you've accepted Jesus, you'll never go to heaven. And I know that because that's what God teaches. And as I just gave the book here, you get a hold of that book and read it. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, write and tell me, and I'll get you, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you can maybe write and apologize or something. I don't know. Who cares? And now here's Crystal Lake, Wisconsin. My sister and I listen every Sunday. We love your service and warning the world they need Jesus as their Savior. I'm 95 years old. My sister's 97 years old. We love the Lord, and we're waiting, and listen how she puts it. We love the Lord and are waiting for Jesus to come and bring us home to our eternal home. You know, that's just what I'm doing too. I'm waiting for Jesus to come and take me home. Like one old pastor said, I'm just waiting. I'm going to heaven. I'm just waiting for the transportation. That's what it is. He'll come and get us. And when we're ready, you see here, you're 95, what is it, 95, 97? And you're here because God has something for you yet to do. And so you just serve the Lord, prayer and witness, however, I don't know what it is, you'll know. And then God will take us home. When the right time comes, he'll take us home. Here's Sun City, Florida. I listen to on TV every Sunday. I'm a World War II vet. I've been in many major battles on destroyers in the North Atlantic and South Pacific. I survived all these years. I'm 92 years old and still trusting in the Lord. My wife passed away 5 years ago. Keep up the good work of the Lord. I remain your trusted Christian. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And I tell you, we owe these service people a great debt because they gave up years of their life. They were in harm's way. Many of them died. Many of them were maimed. Many of them had problems of the emotional and unseen injuries in the mind and the soul. And we ought to pray for these dear people and thank God for those who defended our country and made it possible so that we could have services like this. God bless them all. Here's one from Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. North Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, like to give an offering to the Christian Worship Hour. We have members who cannot always make it to church. They like to listen to your radio program. And that is, you know, we hear from a good number of churches, and we hear from people of all denominations. Because what we do on this service is we preach the Bible. We don't get off into the weeds and all on a lot of little technical stuff. It's basic. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this world and died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he was raised from the dead, and he's coming again. And you have to receive Jesus if you're going to go to heaven, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. So you have to have Jesus. That's the whole key to it all. I don't care what church you're in. You have to have Jesus. Let's see. Here's one more. Walcott, Connecticut. Thank you so much for sending me the new booklet on Who Commits Suicide Going to Heaven. I was so encouraged by this book and was so reassured by the Bible verses you quoted. Your writing in this excellent book will reassure so many families who've lost a loved one to suicide and has given me much peace as one who has been made in past attempts. And that's exactly what we have in mind. We want to give you comfort. Maybe you have a loved one or you know somebody and they committed suicide. If they were a believer, if they were a Christian, if they had Jesus in their heart, they are in heaven. They're right at the throne of grace right now. And I've got 8 scriptures, and I could have had more, but I ran out of money, couldn't publish much more. And so we've got 8 reasons from the Bible. It's not some vision I had or something like that. I wish I did have a vision. I could brag about it, but never had a vision of anything, you know, except unpaid bills, I guess, and bill collectors. But that's all, you know, we don't worry about that. God works that out. And so you write to us. And I'm going to tell you something else. We have to have your help financially to keep this ministry going. If you think this is something of the Lord, if you think it's something that God can use and God will use, then you need to help us financially. You got to send some money, just plain old money. And then so we can pay our bills. So you say, well, what if I send money and you don't use it wisely? We have to use it wisely because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We have to receipt every penny we get. We audit our books every year. The ECFA checks us, and they check on not only how much did we get, but how did we spend it. And so we're just as clean as a hound's tooth. And that's awful clean if you ever seen one. I hope you've never been bit by one. But I mean, there's no error. Nobody's taking money. It's all going for the gospel. But and another thing we've decided, we're not going to beg for money. I saw a program the other day. Had a 30-minute program. Took about 20 minutes asking for money. We never have done that. But we, you know, James says you have not because you ask not. So tell people you have a need. We've got a need. And if we want this to continue, you got to help us. How do you help us? You send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send us gifts over the internet, christianworshiphour.com. So we're counting on you, friends. You need to stand by. You need to help us. And if you do that, well, we'll be just fine. One other word quickly. We have a little pamphlet we put out, a little paper we put out. It's a Bible study, and it's called The New Song. You ask for The New Song. It's free and postpaid, and you just love it. If you don't, you write and let me know, and I'll eat my hat. But something, I don't know what we'll do, but you just get that, and you'll be blessed. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first of all. She's going to play, and then you need to write something. Ask God, should I support this? What should I give? Just ask him and do it. Lord, thank you for those for over 38 years who supported this work. And thank you, Lord, if you want it to continue, you'll speak to your people. If you're done with us, then you won't, and that'll be just fine too. So we put everything in your hands, leaving it up with you and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Don't you just love that? In his time, everything is timed by the Lord, and in his time, and in my sermon, I want to talk about that too toward the end of the sermon. So when I talk about in his time, you know, I'm about done. You can take heart, but it'll be a while before we get there. But is that everything is God has everything timed out. He's never ahead of time. He's never behind time. In his time. I love that, and it is so true. Well, we're reading from Romans chapter 8 today, and beginning with the 35th verse. And St. Paul is talking about our eternal security that we have in Christ. And then he's talking about how everything that happens to us has a purpose. And there is a reason for everything, the good things and the bad things. And you know, good things and bad things happen to everybody, the good people and the bad people. They have their hard times at times too. But for the Christian, everything is working for good. There's a purpose and a reason. So that's going to be our sermon. But this is what Paul says in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, my friends, you try to get those verses out. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35, 39. You try to figure out something that Paul didn't cover there. He covered everything. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So we're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for, every week we pray for Christians that are suffering, and we're praying for those in Iraq today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that that love will never fail the Christian, and we thank you that you love the world, and you love the lost, and you love the sinner, but your love for them is going to die. It's going to stop when they die. Because after death, the judgment, and there's no love then. And if they die in their sins, oh God Almighty, we pray they'll turn to you. And that won't happen to anybody that hears our service. But they'll all turn to you and save from wrath to come. Because it's coming. But the love is here now. and they're here until the day they die, and then it ends. So, dear Jesus, we just thank you that you do love us like that. God, that you're that love is, you can't describe it. You can't figure anything that it doesn't cover. And that love takes us, Lord. And that's why that even the suicide, if he trusts you, if his faith is in you, he's still in your love and he'll never be out of his love in this world or the world to come. Oh, God, you're so wonderful and we thank you for it. And Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Iraq today. And oh, there were so many of them and how many of them are fleeing from that country for their life. And some of them, Lord, put to death, especially the men being killed, but others as well. And Lord, why are they being put to death? Because they're put to death because they will not renounce you. They will not say they're not a follower of Jesus Christ, but they proudly declare, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and they pay with their life. Oh, God, I wish I could do that. I don't know what I would do. I hope I do the right thing. But we know that there are many that are doing it right now. And so we pray for not them, Lord, because they are with you. They're in glory. But those who are left behind, the wives, the mothers, the grandparents, the friends, the children, Lord, just especially help them. And, oh, God, maybe if your son could come, wouldn't that be wonderful and put an end to all this mess? But that's in your hands. So help us to preach your word, Lord, and to sing it and to preach it. And may we do it all to your honor and glory. And may the result be that people are saved and that those who are suffering and those who are struggling and those who are sick and those who are lonely, the old gray heads, that, oh, God, they'll encourage them and bless their hearts. Oh, Jesus, that's our prayer. And through it all, may you be pleased and honored. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is with us. Hank has been with us since day one, over 38 years. He's always faithful and always singing. I really think he's getting better. But he'll just bless you. And he's going to sing today, Rescue the Perishing. And you know, that's what this whole thing is about, Rescue the Perishing. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wind them till the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. Rescue the perishing. You know, that's what we're about. That's not the only reason. We have three reasons that we're in existence. The one is to glorify God. The second is to rescue the perishing. Who are the perishing? There are people that don't know Jesus. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're perishing. And what are you perishing from? You're perishing and you're going to go into a Christless eternity. Jesus talked about it, where there's an awful torment. It's called hell. And the third thing we do in our ministry is to comfort the afflicted, to comfort God's people. And so we're praying that if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're perishing. And we pray that you right now, you could just say, "Dear Jesus, I just please come into my heart, take away my sins, oh God. I'll live for you the best I can," and then thank him, and you're born again. You're a child of God. Well, we're looking at a special verse today that I just love. And you know, it's a verse that gives comfort and help. And when we live this life, we'll find out that there's a lot of times that things break right for us and everything works out just good and we're just as happy as a lark. But then there's times when we're going along and something happens and it doesn't work out the way we planned. And then there's sometimes things happen that we can't understand and we just cannot make sense out of it. And we just don't know what in the world is happening. And so when we come to those things, we can come to the Word of God and we'll find out that people, you see, others, they have their ups and downs. Everybody has it, whether you're a Christian or not. Whether you're saved or not saved, you're going to have some good times and some tough times. So when those tough times come, well, then there's things, a way you can handle it. For one thing, people say, well, when things happen that I don't understand, well, I just think that, well, I'm in a giant computer and that computer's going all the time and it might come up good and it might come up bad, kind of like a slot machine. And so it just depends. I don't know how things are going to come out, and it just works out. Sometimes they work good, and sometimes they don't work good. And then some people say, oh, well, it's God. He made this universe, and he set it in motion, then he went off and left it. So it's just running on its own, and that's why sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, and there's nothing you can do about it. You deal, you play the hand they deal you, and if the computer works for you, if you hit the jackpot, all right, and if not, well, then you're just in tough luck. You just take it on the chin, keep a stiff upper lip. Well, now there's a third way of looking at it, and that's the way St. Paul talks about it. And he tells us, St. Paul says, there's a kind, loving God who made this universe, and he made this world and all there is in it. And this wonderful God loves us and cares for us. And if you don't believe it, you go to see Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we see Jesus. He's going to have marks, scars in his hands, scars in his feet, and scars in his side. And it's all there because he loved us so much, he died for us. And though he was dead for 3 days and 3 nights, he was raised. and he lives forever, and he's going to come back again one of these bright, sunny days. And so the Apostle Paul puts it like this, Romans 8:28. He says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Paul tells us, he says, we know. He says, Paul liked to say that, we know. He says, we know we have eternal life. We know this, we know that. And he says, we know that we have everything working together for good. Now, just think about it here. He says, everything. He says, all things work together for good. And he says, all of this good means that it has a purpose. And it's working good for a reason. And the reason is to glorify God and to help us and do good for us. And he will say, well, I don't, you know, if it's a flat tire, or if it, like with me, it's a broken leg, or somebody else has got something else. And that all those things are for good. Well, you say those aren't good things. No, they're not good things, but he takes the bad things and he makes good out of them. Only Jesus can do that. Only God can do that. Devil takes good things and make bad out of them. God takes the bad things, the hard things. And Jesus talked about that. He says, and he says about a woman that's in travail, giving birth to a child. And she has terrible pains and is an awful experience, terrible experience. And all of a sudden the child is born and she's thrilled and happy as she can be. Out of the sorrow and the heart and the dead thing of childbirth, God brings a beautiful child. And God does that. He takes the hard things and he makes something good out of it. Now, we may not see that until we get to heaven, but you just believe it. And so this is a wonderful thing. So you say, he's bringing all things for our good. And he says, we know. It isn't that we guess or we suppose, but he says, we know. And so just remember this. Now, as we go through life, as I say, there are going to be some things that are not going to be good. They're going to be hard things, like, for instance, disappointed hopes, or pain, or sorrow, or heartache, or hatred, or persecution, or defeat, or a rebellious wayward child, or a mate that deserves us, or lingering illness, or hail that does the crops. You can think of a list a mile long, and none of these things are good. And Paul doesn't say they're good. He just says that they are there, and God is going to make good out of them. And we have to believe and we have to trust it. And there are things that happen. We can't understand why they happen, but God has a reason and a purpose for it. For instance, there's a little book called Gary Richman's book, A View from the Zoo. And he tells about the birth of a baby giraffe. Now, a giraffe has a long neck and they also have long legs. And they stand very long legs, and some of those giraffes stand 10 feet tall. And when they give birth to the baby, she doesn't lower her body. She lets him drop 10 feet on his back. Whammo! And then he struggles a little, and if he doesn't get up, she kicks him. And if he doesn't get up, she'll kick him again, send him sprawling, and pretty soon he gets up on his feet. And you say, that mother's a terrible thing. Those are bad things. No, they're good things. Because now the little giraffe can walk and he can stay with mama and move with the herds because there's hyenas waiting and there's wolves and there's lions and there's everything else want to eat him. But the mother makes him get up, move along. God does that. They're the hard things of life. And you know, when you see a mother giraffe like that, you want to call social services. Treating your baby like that, but best thing in the whole world, see. God does that for us, and he's bringing good out of the hard things of life. And, oh, we love the Lord Jesus, and we trust him. And so, you see, Paul says, this process which God brings, the good and the bad work together for the good of the soul. And he mixes them up. To those who have responded to the love of Christ and placed their faith and trust in him, God says there's no question about it. He says they're working for good. And I had an old professor in the seminary 75 years ago, Robert L. Moyer, and he says, remember this, he told us in the class, when God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. And when God says that all things work together for good, don't you say, I wonder, or I guess, or I hope, or anything else. You put a period there because it's true. And God's going to bring it to pass. You know, all kinds of things happen to all kinds of people. And like in the Ecclesiastes, he writes, I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. And so the good, the sorrow, and the sickness, and loss, and failures, and disappointments, and all of the rest, that comes to the good and the bad. And so those things happen, but the results aren't the same. What happens from all these good and the bad striking against us, see that the results isn't always the same. You remember Jesus told about the man who built his house on a rock, the rain, the same rain came, the same clouds came, the same flood came, the same wind came, but one house stood and one house fell. So all of these things, they have different results. And so it's up to us, you see. And I've seen it. The same storm that makes God, some people angry with God, brings others closer to God. And it's what we want to do with it, see. The same adversity can make a person hard and bitter and angry. I've seen it happen. But the same adversity can make a person open to God and tender and gentle to the Lord and loving to the Lord. And it is us. We are the ones that are going to decide whether this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. And we do it by faith. We do it by trusting. And it's like somebody said, if you take pruning shears, you cut the apple tree, cut the limbs, it'll only make more fruit. But you do that with poison ivy, and it'll only make more poison. It depends on me. It depends on you. You are going to decide. But if you leave it with God, it will be a breath of wonderful, wonderful thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, the apostle says, now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous but grievous. Maybe he says, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Afterwards, not just after the time, after a little time, but afterwards, that means it may be not until heaven that we see all the good that came out of these hard things. But we trust him and we love him. Sometimes we can see where I had a man who had a terrible heart attack and brought him to Jesus, and he found out right away, he knew right then that was the best thing ever could happen to him. But some things happen that we won't understand till we get to glory afterwards. Afterwards, see, and remember this too. It says all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Not a few things or some things or many things or most things, but all things. God says that they all come for the good. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I really believe in God? Do I believe in the providence of God? Do I believe in the sovereignty of God Almighty? Do I believe in the love of God? Well, you can tell for sure if you believe that in how you handle with the events of life that may strike hard and may strike bitter into the core. You'll find out then if you love God or not, you see. And that's what God is doing. So he was working all these things for God's glory. And remember that, and when Paul wrote, he was an old veteran and he'd gone through a lot of battles and scars. He was a soldier for Christ. He was a veteran for Christ. He was a man who wore the scars from the stoning and the scourging. He was a man who was a true warrior for Christ. In one of his passages, he talks about the struggles and the hard things of life. He says how he endured hunger and thirst and loneliness and sickness and prison and robberies and beatings and shipwrecks. And he doesn't whimper and complain and feel sorry for himself. Instead, he is being angry with God. He is thankful and rejoicing that he can suffer for Christ's sake and suffer for God. This Saint Paul, this man who went through all of these things, he did it because he knew all of these hard things are working for good. They're working for the glory of God. They're working to make me a better man, a better woman. They're making me closer to Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, every one of them was a trial. Every one of them was a heartache. Every one was a heartbreak. And yet he looked back and he says, after he looked all of those things, listen to St. Paul, he looks back and he says, all things work together for good. The shipwreck, the stoning. Why, one time they drug him out of town and threw him in the dump. They thought he was dead. And there are some Bible teachers think he was dead and God raised him from the dead. He might have, I don't know. But he had scars and everything else, and he was, and yet he says, all these things are for good. All these are things are for the glory of God. And one of the most important words of this whole verse is, all things work together. Together. You need one on the other. It's, as a matter of fact, together is the key word, because the key to so many happenings of life are not pleasant. They're not pleasant, and they are hard, and they hurt. Oh, God, they hurt, that they don't make sense. And my dear friend, Jerry Splinter, a preacher, young preacher with four or five little children, killed in a plane crash. Why did that plane crash? That's 60 years ago. I still don't know why. But all these things put together, see, they bring out this thing that God is doing. And so there are going to be some defeats, and there's going to be some disappointments, and there's going to be some sorrow, and there's going to be some heartaches. And there are going to be days when you want to give up, but hold on, because you haven't seen the full picture yet. God's not done yet. The battle isn't over. The war isn't over. The struggle isn't past. And the hard, bitter things in life will come, go, and they'll not make up the final scene. But there's going to be that day when we're going to have that wonderful thing, and we're going to see that picture, and it's going to be all beautiful, all things beautiful. God does it, and you have to trust him for it. And you can't say like one man, well, I question God. What are you talking about? You don't question God for anything. You submit and to challenge God of all the idiots. But I hear people say, oh, it's all right to get angry with God and tell him how you feel. You know, you're talking like you don't have good sense. I'm glad you're not a preacher. Well, I may be a preacher. I don't know what you are. But you're sure off base, because we take it and we give it to God. And if it's good, God bless him. And what did we say with the funerals? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, we bless God when he gives and we bless God when he takes. And we don't ask questions. We love him and we trust him. And he's there to help us. So this wonderful thing, and it's going to come in his time. When we look at the events of life today, we don't get the full picture. We don't get the full picture. We don't get the final picture. We don't get the finished product. We just see a part of it. It's like that a beautiful carpet. And it's just so beautiful. If you hold it, turn it over, it's threads running 1,000 different ways. The most ugly thing you ever saw. But when you see the top side, it's a beautiful carpet with a beautiful design. And so we're on the underside now. And we just see the bottom side. And God's working this way and that way and every way. But when we see the other side in his time, when it's time, it'll be beautiful. And we'll say, and we'll see heaven. And we'll say, we can't imagine how beautiful it can be when we see that. And do you know what? We will not get the full picture today. And you may not get the full picture tomorrow, but you will not get the picture even until after you die. But you'll get the picture, and someday God will say, here it is. Now you can see it. What do you think of it? And we'll be speechless. St. Paul says you can't even tell the beauties of heaven, can't put it into words. And when you see what God does, how beautiful it is, and that all of it'll work just lovely. Oh, my friends, it is true, all things work together for good. We cannot prove this verse today. I can't prove it in any way except that God said it, and that's good enough. In this world, even to the end of this world, even in eternity, we're not going to see it till we get to heaven and we see God and we see him face to face and we see heaven. Remember what Jesus told us? He says, in that day, he's talking to his disciples. He says, in that day, referring to eternity, he says, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. You shall ask me nothing. Because we will see that beautiful, beautiful God. Clarence McCartney put it like this, he says, both men and angels will be satisfied with the end, with the good that has been produced. And men and angels shall echo the verdict that was pronounced at the end of the first creation. It was very good. So, dearly beloved friend of mine, where are you today? Where am I? How are you getting along in life? Are you bitter and are you hard? Oh, I've worked with those people. I've seen those people. I've seen those people die, and they die hard. Are you that way? Give him to Jesus. He loves you. You say, well, this is so hard to happen. Why would he let it happen? You'll find out someday. Just think of what you know. You don't know why these things happen, but you do know that he loves you. You do know that he went to the cross. You do know that he died for your sins. You do know that he takes care of you and works all things for good. Those are things you know, so why would you throw away something you know for something you don't know? Are you thinking? No. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so I guess I have to ask you, do you love the Lord? Have you accepted Jesus? Maybe you've heard the message many times. You need to come to Jesus. You need to ask him to come into your life. And it's so such a simple thing that even a child can do it. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus 84 years ago. An evangelist from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church came out to our country school and preached, a man by the name of Vernon Egebrotten. And I went to the old recitation bench and knelt at the recitation bench, asked Jesus to come into my heart. And as a child, I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the coming of the Lord. I didn't know anything about anything, really. I knew some Bible stories mother read. That's all I knew, but I knew enough to ask Jesus. Maybe you drifted away and you can say, dear Jesus, I want to come back. And he'll take you with open arms. And those of you that are hurting today, maybe your spouse has been taken. That's a hard time. I've gone through it. I know all about it. It hurts, and there's no easy way through it. And you're going through it now while you just trust Jesus. And you know that through Jesus, you'll all be together again. And you just leave it with the Lord Jesus, and he'll do the right thing. And he's working out a plan, and it'll be beautiful. Maybe you're a young person today and you don't know what to do in life. And God has a plan for you. And if you just take Jesus and take a step at a time, he'll show you, he'll lead you. So I'm just praying that you'll be able to help us out now. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. We need your help. Got to have your help. So you just do as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Bless your people. Bless those that are not your people and help them become your people through Jesus. Help that to happen right now. All over the world may be people coming to Jesus. What a wonderful day. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And we pray for the shut-ins and the older people and those that can't get out of bed or can't get out of the wheelchair. Help them to just to know all things work together for good. It's going to end up perfect. And just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And so God bless you. We'll see you next week. We'll be looking for your letter. And you pray for us. Pray for this ministry. We can't do it by ourselves. There's power in prayer. Pray and help us and write to us. And we'll go on as long as we can go on. And when the Lord says stop, guess what? We'll stop. So everything goes into His hands, everything to the Lord. We love the Lord. We love each other, and we love you, every one of you. And we're praying that God will give you a good week. And what do you know? Maybe this week the Lord will come. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ be raised first. We'll all be with the Lord. Won't that be something? Well, I don't know if it'll happen this week, but I'll know one thing. It's going to happen. There's going to be some week that He comes. So that's what we're looking for. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.